This is an MPB Think Radio podcast.
The 10-Minute Timeout is a mini podcast that brings Mississippi sports stories to life. Join me, Lacey Alexander, as I learn more about the teams, athletes, staff, and programs that make our state proud. One-on-one interviews with influential playmakers paint a clear picture for listeners of how Mississippi sports inspire and energize our community. New episodes released every other Friday on your favorite podcasting app. From MPB Think Radio, this is Fix It 101, the home improvement show to help you do it yourself. I'm Lacey Alexander here with Pam Pybus, ASHI Certified Inspector at Inspect It Like a Girl. Licensed contractor Jeff Salmons from Houseworks will be joining us shortly. It's an open topic show, so we are looking for your questions to get your projects completed around the house. Let's talk about quick fixes, big projects, even major renovations. We want to hear from you this morning and let you, our listening audience, really dictate the conversation. Join that conversation with us this morning. You can send an email to fixit101@mpbonline.org. Before we get started, I want to say to everyone that we had a very successful drive week last week. I want to thank our listeners for being so supportive. We're in a time where money is short, and those donations are probably not on your priority list, and the MPB family still found a way to really come together and make sure we were taken care of for this drive. So in reaction to that, and as thanks for that, I really wanted the show to be really audience-driven, caller-driven, so we're doing a little bit of open topic today, which means, because it's open topic, Pam gets to talk about whatever she wants. So we may be in a little bit of trouble.
Yeah, if you open that door, you're responsible.
So before the before we started recording, Pam, you told me you had the weirdest crawl space ever. Tell me about that while we wait on the phone lines to heat up.
Well, it wasn't that weird. It was just hard.
Yeah.
It was just very, very hard. And it was one of those where it was a conventional, which means it's built up, foundation's built up, and there's ductwork in the crawl space. And ductwork is what your air conditioner goes through. Mm. And it was like a puzzle. It was a maze. I had to go this way and then that way, and then I had to pull myself under, and then I had to pull myself over, and I had to look for all the wires. It was in my 22 years of inspecting houses, it was by far the hardest one I have ever done.
Really?
Yes.
Have you ever in your career gotten under one of those crawl spaces and just gotten so claustrophobic you had to run away?
Well, you can't run.
That's true. Crawl away.
You're going to do
wiggle away.
You're going to crab crawl. I had, well, that's one of the scariest ones was years. I mean, this was, I had just gotten started and I had crawled under a house and I looked up in the corner and it was probably 25, 30 feet and there was a red light.
Huh.
And it was blinking. And I thought,
oh,
that is so interesting. Who would put something way up there that was blinking? And I had my flashlight on it. So I started crawling toward it. And when I got real close, it wasn't a mechanical thing. It was an animal.
Was it a bat?
No.
I guess bats don't have blinking.
Bats don't blink. I don't think they blink.
You don't know.
Yeah,
you don't
well,
know.
You know, and I've learned through the years what animal's going to be where. And this was a raccoon.
Oh, gosh.
And you do not mess with raccoons. And so I did, you know, the crab crawl that you used to do in elementary school? They'd make you crawl, you know, on your, you're on your, basically you're on your back, on your sit down, and then you're supposed to crawl like you're sitting.
I don't remember. Did you go to a military elementary school? I don't remember that.
I don't know. You know, they were hard back in the 60s. It was difficult back then.
Pam was in basic training
in the sixth grade. So I came out of that crawl space so fast, and it was funny because the buyer was sitting on the deck. And I was huffing and puffing and going as fast. And then I had one where I went up in a, speaking of raccoons, in the springtime. So it is time. I went up in a, I used thermal imaging. And I had a situation in an older house. I can't even remember where it was at this point. It's been 20 years ago. And I got up there and I thought, there's something going on up here. I'm going to try shooting my thermal up there.
Yeah.
So I stuck my thermal camera up there, and it gives you heat differentials. And a mama raccoon emerged out of the whole house fan chamber. And she looked enormous on my thermal camera. And I started hyperventilating because they will come, they will tear you up.
Oh my God.
Especially on mama protecting her babies.
Her babies.
Mm-hmm. So I came back down and I looked at the buyer and I said, well, the attic inspection is now officially over.
Yeah, right. You've got a bear up there.
Yeah, there is a large, you know, people always wonder about snakes. But snakes don't go under houses. I did have one time where I went out to a house on a lake here in the northern part of our metropolitan area. And when I got up there, there was the longest. I got up in an attic and I'd gone around several different corners. And there was the longest snake skin I think I have ever seen.
Wow.
I was like, wow. Can you imagine having a snake in your attic?
I don't know about no attic. Now, if I see a snake outside, I usually leave it alone.
Oh, yeah. They're harmless. They don't really want to have anything to do with you either. But whenever you're stuck with one in an attic, that's a whole different thing.
That's the thing. Outside, nature roams. That's their spot. In my house.
Inside, yes.
See, I love animals so much. If you told me, Lacey, you've got a giant raccoon, I'd be like, aw.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I wouldn't be nearly as concerned as you.
You'd be throwing cat food out at it.
Right. Trying to bathe the babies or something. Be like, look at this dog I found.
Mm-hmm.
That's so funny.
Yeah. No, you don't have to worry about snakes don't go in crawl spaces because it's cold.
Right.
They want the hottest place they can find.
Mm.
So they're usually outside. They're in the bushes. My favorite is to go, you know, in the spring now we're going to end up with those, and I don't know what the official name is, but banana spiders. And they're the big, enormous spiders with a zipper on them. And they will build their webs right between all the bushes, right where the condenser is, where I need to get back there. I mean, those things are, they're not going to hurt you. They're just going to scare you to death.
It's a banana spider.
Yeah, that's what I call them. I don't know what the official name is, but they're about the size of the palm of your hand.
No. All right, that's our show. I ain't talking about no giant spiders.
Well, let me
today.
Tell you what I did this weekend.
Tell me, Pam.
Yeah, because this is more of a DIY thing. I had a friend who had, she saw some water markings on her floor in front of her dishwasher.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I'll come over there and take a look. And I took the front plate off and the wood flooring, and she had some very nice wood floors, was completely rotten underneath her dishwasher.
Oh,
that
God.
Son of a gun had probably been leaking for years.
Oh, man.
It was incredible. And then I went over to turn the water off and it usually your dishwasher is connected to your hot water line underneath your sink.
Sure.
Okay. So I went down there to turn it off and the valve was leaking.
Oh gosh.
So I asked her, I said, so how long have you lived in this house? She said about 27 years. I was like, have you thought about getting an inspection?
Yeah, seriously.
You got some issues going on here.
Jeez.
Yeah. So I helped them. I was able to get the water off there and get the dishwasher disconnected, and we pulled it out, and she was having a new one delivered, but now we got a rotten floor.
Right.
So it was a hot mess.
Dang.
Yeah.
So, how did she not notice until then?
Because you're busy. Because people don't, they're not looking. You know,
they're
this
not paying
is why,
attention.
Yeah, they got things. I mean, they're busy. She had pickleball.
Yeah, like you do, Pam.
Yeah, she was busy. And that's what happens, folks. It's like, how did I not know that, you know, something's wrong with me physically? Well, you don't know until you go to the doctor.
Sure.
So your house is kind of the same way. You may think you know, but I'm gonna guarantee you, you do not know.
Really?
Unless you are a contractor or, you know, you're used to the trades. You just have no idea what's going on. You know, and the thing that folks will say is, oh, I just had a water heater put in. Well, do you know that they installed it correctly?
Right. Yeah. And?
Yeah. Usually crickets.
Right. No, because you, well, the whole reason you had somebody else do it is because you don't know what the correct way to do it is.
Yeah, you didn't install your new air conditioner because you don't know how to do that. Well, sometimes the person who did it didn't know how to do it either.
Yeah, exactly. Which is crazy.
Yeah.
Because then you just paid these guys a bunch of money. Now you got to pay some other guy a bunch of money to look at what they did and fix what they did.
Right.
So they say, you know, an annual checkup. Go to the doctor once a year just to get yourself looked at is healthy. What would you say is a good timeline for house checkups?
I think they need to be inspected at least every 5 years.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Is anything going to pop up in under 5 years that needs to be taken care of urgently that you won't notice?
Probably if your water heater starts leaking, if the pop-off valve goes off, and it'll start dripping, you'll have a drip line. And, you know, I'll ask people, well, have you checked your drip line? And they're like, what's that?
Oh, gosh.
What do you mean, drip line? Or in older houses, this is the dilemma that we have, is that your water heater sits in a pan, a tanked water heater. And usually in older houses, that's what you have. And then the pan has a drain. Well, where do the drain go?
You sound like me.
Yeah. And so if you don't know where it goes. And then the other day I did one. It was an older house. They put in a brand new water heater, a brand new air conditioner. It was in one of those closets. So I walked in and the pan, they replaced the water heater, but they didn't replace the pan. It was full of rust. And then they cut this enormous hole in the pan to run the condensate line off the air conditioner. Well, what's going to happen to the water if the water heater starts leaking? It's going to come out the hole.
There's a science to this, huh?
And I look at it sometimes, I go, you know, something just ain't right.
What do you always say? Water is where water ain't.
Yeah,
there you go.
Water is where water ain't. It's coming from somewhere other than what you think.
I tell you what. Before we take our first break, let's go ahead and take our first caller of the day. Courtney in Ridgeland is on the line. She wants to know, how do you change a window outside a brick house? Courtney, what's going on this morning?
Yes, I have just a regular brick house. You know, just basic brick house, and I have old aluminum windows. My house was built in 2003, I think. What's the process on changing the window? I just want to go to like a vinyl frame window. Like, will we have to tear sheetrock out to do that?
No. You know, I wish Jeff was here because he can explain it so much easier than I can. But basically, with brick, you're going to have to do it from the inside. So you'll have to take the trim off. Like what's the trim around the window? And work, and then you'll have to have a sawzall so you can cut the nails that are holding that thing in place. I tell you what, can we get, because Jeff just, he does this all the time. Let's write this down.
I listen to y'all all the time. I can call back next week.
Yeah, or whenever he comes in, we'll ask him to answer that question. How about that?
Oh, is he coming in later on?
Yeah, he's running a little bit late, and I'm going to let him, because I'm going to tell you something that just ain't right.
Okay. Why would you do that to poor Courtney?
I know. I don't want to. See, and this is where there's an eject button that I always hit when you have just jumped outside of my hula hoop. It's like when I was helping my friend with that dishwasher, she needed to redo the flooring, and we hit a point where I was like, eject, because I'm going to damage that flooring. You need to get somebody in here with the right tools. And so Jeff has got the right knowledge on that.
I tell you what, as soon as Jeff sits his bottom in that chair, I will make him answer this question for you.
All right, and I'll keep on listening.
All right, appreciate you.
I love y'all's show.
Thank you so much. You're listening to Fix It 101 on MPB Think Radio. I'm Lacey Alexander here with Pam Pybus, ASHI Certified Inspector at Inspect It Like a Girl. And fresh from the sidewalk is Jeff Salmons from Houseworks. Join the conversation with us, Ms. Morgan. Send an email to fixit101 at mpbonline.org. This is an open topic show. We had such a wonderful, successful drive. I wanted to really let our listeners take control this week because they were so generous in our drive last week. We had a call right before you walked in the door, Jeff, about a gentleman wanting to know about the basics, ins and outs, do's and do nots of changing the windows on a brick home. And Pam said, this is a Jeff question.
We've done many of them.
Yeah.
And Lacey, that was a nice way of saying you're late.
No.
I forgot. I've been doing the show for 8 years and I forgot
and
that it's on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah.
At 9.
Am I supposed to be somewhere?
Am I supposed to be somewhere Wednesday at 9? Let me check. Yeah, okay. For the caller with the window replacements in brick, it's the fundamentals are the same as if it was in siding, only you're going to order your windows 1/4 inch smaller all the way around. So take your tape and measure three places on your brick. Start at the top, and then go to the middle, and then go to the very bottom, and pick that smallest number and order the windows a quarter inch smaller than that number.
Okay.
So everybody confused?
Yes.
No, I'm with you.
Okay. Oh,
yeah. Yeah,
okay.
I'm good. I'm getting
it. Why do you do it smaller?
Well, so you can fit the window in from outside.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Take your fine tool and cut on the inside, cut between the trim and the sheetrock, cut the nails. That now you can take your trim off. It's all in one piece. Everything's beautiful. Order your window a quarter inch smaller all the way around. And if you're replacing aluminum with vinyl, the easiest way to get that vinyl out, and I know this is going to sound weird, get gloves, eye protection, tarp, and actually break that window, and then you can collapse it. And take your sawzall, cut it right out.
Yeah, he was saying he had metal windows, so you would just...
I hope it's aluminum and not steel.
Yeah.
If he's got those old steel windows, that is a job.
Mm. He's going to have to call somebody else.
Yeah, it's a job.
Mm. So you take the trim off from the inside and then cut the nails there.
Yeah.
And then you're going to slide it out.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one would slide in.
In from the outside.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, so since it's an open topic show, I said I was going to make Pam talk, and if nobody else called, now it's your turn, Jeff. Pam was telling me a story about some of the, well, a very recent, pretty nasty crawl space that she had.
Okay.
Would you like to share any crazy stories?
Well, the one that comes to mind, all I'm going to say, it's north of Madison. we'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
But yeah, it was the worst one that I've seen in quite some time. The crawl space was probably had a ceiling height of about 9 feet. It was built on a hill,
oh,
so
wow.
You could really walk around. But when you walked into the master bath and walking into the shower, you could see the bottom of the crawl space.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
It was a 9-foot drop.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And there was a hole.
And it was about, 2 foot?
Yeah.
Hole.
And they just put a mat over it.
Yeah.
So they could step over into the shower.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. That was, you know, that was the... one of the worst ones I've seen, but you know, we've worked on them in the past. You know, we're 22, 23 years old now, and we've done plenty of crawl space, but it can get nasty down there quick.
Oh yeah. Yeah. They had redone this one I was in yesterday. They'd redone, and actually to the credit of the seller, had redone the ductwork, and that was what the problem was, is trying to get around it. I'm a big believer in ductwork, and I do not like ductwork in a crawl space. If there's any way you can move everything up to the attic, I would highly recommend it because of our high humidity here in the South. But if you're going to redo it with a metal plenum and flex lines coming off of it so that
yes.
people can get on, you know, because a flex line is flex.
It's called that for a reason.
Yeah, if I crawl over there to it, I can just lift it up and crawl right underneath it. But the hard stuff, I was telling them, Jeff, it was a puzzle. I had to go this way, to go that way, to go this way, to go that way, to get to where
wow.
I was going. And just a shout out to my Pilates instructor, because I've been doing Pilates now for about 4 months, and I sent her a text message yesterday saying, thank you.
I ran away from that raccoon. Thank you.
I mean, usually something like that would put me down.
Mm-hmm.
I would be down for about 3 days.
Yeah,
but I am in awesome shape now.
You're
because
better shape
of that.
Than me, Pam.
And I came out and I thought, you know, I feel pretty good. I'm kind of proud of myself.
You know, the snakes are out now, and the snakes love those crawl spaces.
No, they don't.
Why?
It's cold.
Oh.
They don't go in a crawl space. Have you ever seen a snake in a crawl space?
You do know a snake is cold-blooded.
They do not. I know that's why they want to sit in the sun.
That's okay. That's okay. I had to be told bats don't blink.
Yeah. There's no snakes in the crawl space. I'll go with that.
I've gone 22 years. I have never seen a snake in a crawl space.
She's going to find one today.
No, I've seen rats and I see spiders.
You've seen raccoons.
I've seen raccoons. I've seen possums. I saw a cat one time, scared me to death.
Let's study this for a minute. What do snakes eat?
They eat the rats.
They eat the rats. So there's rats in the crawl space, but no snakes.
Nope. They're sitting on the outside waiting. Because when they get cold, they can't move.
If you ever find a snake in there, you better call Jeff and owe him an apology.
I'm going to go over that snake and say, could you smile? I need to send a photo to my... Snakes don't bother... They really don't bother me. What bothers me is spiders.
Yeah.
And it's not that I'll run from a spider. It's just they won't get out of my way.
Yeah, I don't like them.
They stare me down.
I don't
They're
like
we ain't moving.
As my 5-year-old grandson told me the other day, Poppy, I'm not a big fan of getting dirty anymore.
Yeah,
I'm not
with
a big
you.
Fan of
I'm
it.
Not a big fan of that.
I'm
I agree,
not a big
Poppy.
Fan of spiders or snakes.
Yeah, he's not growing up to be a contractor, is he?
No,
if he don't want to get dirty.
We do have someone on the line. Jackie in Waynesboro wants to talk to us about a mildew smell. Jackie, what have you got going on this morning? You're on the air.
Well, I noticed about 3 weeks ago a mildew smell as I come in my front door, and it's right there at the living room, but it's nowhere else in my house. Now, I know it's rained a lot and everything, but I haven't noticed water anywhere. I took my, before your water drains from your air conditioner goes outside, I poured a little bleach down that, and I've washed every couch cushion I can put my hand on it. Put things out to air just to see what would happen. How do I find out what is moldy smelling or mildew smelling there? Is there a meter, or do I need to tear off paneling just to look what's got behind the wall?
Well, let me ask, can we ask you some questions, Jackie?
Okay.
Let me ask you. Okay, so are you on a slab or are you on conventional?
I'm on a slab.
Okay, and how old is your air conditioner?
Well, I just had it put in a new one about 3 years ago. I thought about the ductwork, and it is in the attic and everything. So, and when I opened the door to the air conditioner, the unit on the inside, I don't smell anything. And I took the vent off where I put the filters, and I don't smell anything. So I don't know. It's like it's in the wall or something. And I just painted my front door front and back, and it's right there. But I smelled of the paint. I said, is it a paint smell? But it doesn't smell like that. But it is overwhelming when I open that front door.
That's
driving tough. Me crazy. It just,
now,
you know.
What you could do, it'll probably cost you, $200 to $400 to do this. But you could have an air quality test done. And what they do, they will do an air quality test inside your house. They will also do an air quality right outside your house for a benchmark.
Yeah, we do those. And so
what's the cost of that?
It's usually $150
okay.
a sample.
Okay.
So it depends on how many, the size.
Yeah.
So you're right on it, $300, $400, $500.
Okay. At least, Jackie, it would tell you. And Pam, you chime in here. It would tell you what's going on. Do you have mold, spores, whatever that word is? But wouldn't it give you an indication of what's going on inside?
It would. One of the things that you're saying, Jackie, is that you had a new unit put in. Did you have the ductwork updated at that time, or are you using old ductwork?
Old ductwork, but he got up there and checked it and, said it was okay and everything. And I just had a new roof put on about 3 years ago, so it's not a leak or anything. So,
just because you had a new roof put on doesn't mean that you don't have a roof leak.
Yeah, well, normally whenever there are mildew smells, it goes back to air conditioning somehow. I had, trust the nose. If you're smelling it, then something's going on. I had a situation where Mama smelled it, and I went in, and it ended up being... every time the unit came on, it was decompressing and drawing air out of the attic near where a dryer vent had been ducted. And so it was pulling that odor back into the house, whenever the unit came on. Is your air conditioner in a closet or is it up in the attic?
It's in a closet.
Okay.
And it's right there at the, you know, where the smell is.
Oh, okay. All right. See, I think it's an air conditioning thing.
I'm leaning that way.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I think it might be dealing with, even though they're checking the ductwork, they may not be checking to make sure that it's sealed up completely. Also, on the condensate, your condensate drain coming out of the cabinet on your unit, do you see a P-trap? Like whenever the drain comes out, does it have like a dip in it?
It does. And I even had, you know, one of those little things where you, it comes out, you can take the little white top off and put bleach down on it to keep that mucky stuff from collecting. I put bleach down that to pour, you know, to force the muck to not clump up and clog things.
Right.
And
where's it draining to? Where's it going? Is it going into a drain in the floor?
It's draining into... It is, and it goes into the septic tank.
Okay, so the drain is underneath the unit in the return.
Yes.
That could very well be your problem. Is that it's because the unit is stronger whenever you put it in there, is the drain...
Pour some water down that floor drain.
Yeah, is it capped? Is it a solid drain that's going down, or does it have
no,
a gap?
It has a gap there, and I put some bleach down that.
Oh, okay.
Directly into the concrete, put some bleach down there. And the little drain on the top, I took the little top off, put bleach in that in case the little P-trap, like you said, would
right.
Was clogging up or anything. But I haven't used the heat, and, you know, we hadn't needed it for a
That's
month
right.
at least.
Right.
You know, and everything. Just to keep that stuff from collecting and getting thick. And causing a leak, you know, to flood out on the floor or anything. I keep that clean.
So well, what I'm saying is that I don't know that it's that drain. I think it's the drain that it's going into. If that
okay.
is open, what will happen is when the unit comes on, and even if it is in the heat mode or the air conditioning mode, it decompresses the house. And specifically uh-huh. right in that area, and it will draw odors out of that drain.
Mm-hmm.
You can put all okay. the bleach you want to down there. It's not going to help. So what I would do is talk to a plumber, and I'm not saying that this is it. I'm just saying in the years that I've been doing this, I've watched how that open drain, because of the design on it from the 60s and the 70s and the 80s, is that whenever that son of a gun is open, it'll decompress specifically when you put in a new unit because you've just added more power. So you could literally get a plumber to put you a cap that just has a discharge point into it and see if that doesn't solve your odor.
Okay.
It's worth a try.
Okay, now, an air quality test, who would do that?
Home inspectors do it. I do it. You can, you know, there are companies.
Are you're in Jonesboro, Arkansas?
Waynesboro.
No, I'm Waynesboro, Mississippi.
Waynesboro, where's that?
Just west, east of Laurel.
Okay.
East of Laurel, yeah.
Okay.
You know, I'm actually going to be in Hattiesburg next
week. Well, Pam, you could go down and
week.
Do that, probably.
Yeah. If you want to call my office, we could set something up. I'll be in Hattiesburg, I think, on Tuesday or Wednesday of next week.
Okay. I just, you know, a mildew smell is terrible, and it just is driving me crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it will.
Right now, I've got the windows open and everything, but in the summertime, you have to close the windows, so it'll really get really bad.
Yeah, you may need to call in a professional.
An air conditioned guy wouldn't know what to do except to check the vents in the ceiling.
Yeah,
right?
They're not. All they're doing is checking the gauges. You need somebody with a thermal camera that can hunt for the water and then to do the air testing. And I'm not even, you know, if I went in, what I would do is try to find the water. You know,
it's coming from somewhere. So.
Yeah, yeah. It's 'cause water ain't where water is.
That's right, Pam.
Right.
All right. Jackie, thank you so much for your call. We hope we helped you out. If you want to join the conversation this morning, and we hope you do, you can send an email to fixit101@mpbonline.org. You're listening to Fix It 101 on MPB Think Radio. I'm Lacey Alexander here with Pam Pybus, ASHI Certified Inspector at Inspect It Like a Girl, and Licensed Contractor Jeff Salmons from Houseworks. If you're just now tuning in, we're doing an open topic show as sort of a thank you for such a successful drive last week. I really wanted our listeners to really dictate and run the show today because they were there for us. People came in and supported us last week during a time where supporting a nonprofit is probably not on your list of priorities. So thank you all so much for making last week such a successful drive. And we hope you will join that listener-supported conversation by sending an email to fixit101@mpbonline.org. Speaking of callers, listeners, et cetera, Julie from Natchez is on the line. Julie wants to know what blade is best for cutting masonite board. Julie, tell us what you're working on.
Well, I'm trying to build a chicken coop.
Oh, nice. Wow.
And, I need to know what's the best blade or saw to use to cut that hardy board, masonite board,
Want
to call it.
Okay. They make a masonry. You're going to cut this with a circular saw?
Yes.
Okay. Reason I ask, they have electric set of clippers, too, that work very well. But for this application, just go to your big box store. It's going to be a blade. It's a weird-looking blade, but it has like three or four teeth on it. It's
okay.
Yeah, that's the blade you want, and it's going to say four concrete board. Now, this is very, very important. Wear nose and mouth breathing protection.
Oh, yes, I have some of that.
Okay, good. Yeah, because that board has a silica in it that is known to cause lung issues. So.
Well, I don't need any help with anything like that.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah, I don't need any more problems.
I don't either.
Julie, what kind of chickens do you have?
Well, I had some that the raccoons got a hold of.
Oh,
so
no.
I am rebuilding the coop. I don't have any yet. I'm just getting ready anymore yet. I'm
nice.
Getting ready for them.
Well,
yeah,
you
got to
box them in, too, boy, because those raccoons, they'll be like, dinner.
Oh, those little hands can do all.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah. My little sister has a huge raccoon as a pet. And
what?
It's wonderful.
You can have pet raccoons?
Yeah, it's not.
Yes,
we don't advise it.
Well, not in Mississippi.
Well, yeah. Julie, thank you so much. We hope we helped you out, and we hope you have better luck with your new chickens.
Okay, thank you very much. Y'all have a great day. I love y'all's show.
Thank you so much, Julie, for calling. Wow, a pet raccoon. Where do I sign up for a pet raccoon?
Yeah, you know, then you want to retire from that, too, because that's, yeah.
Yeah?
There's nothing wrong with a pet raccoon.
Right. Pam's pleading the fifth over
there. I mean, yeah, you got something against raccoons?
Yeah, what's your deal?
I don't have anything against a raccoon. I just think they belong in the woods.
Absolutely.
Pam is anti-raccoon.
She is anti-raccoon
I'm
today.
Anti-wild animal pet.
Oh.
But their little grabby hands, they can take snacks from you. They're so cute.
Oh, and they can bite you and send you to the hospital.
Yeah, they give you
stuff.
Rabies.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. All kind of good stuff.
Julie, I hope you're still listening. If you're still listening, I know you're off the line. Please get one of them fluffy chickens, one of them big ones where the feathers like flow behind them as they run around.
A fluffy chicken.
There are some fun little chickens
they
out
are,
there.
And they're huge. Mm-hmm. I wonder if their eggs taste as good.
I don't know either. Just jumped right out of my hula hoop. Eject.
Right. It ain't Creature Comforts, is it, Pam?
No,
that's the wrong show.
No.
So, like I said earlier, it is an open topic show. I hope y'all will call in and help us contribute to that open topic discussion. But in between phone calls today, we're just going to discuss some general stuff. Something we commonly hear when we get questions, Pam and Jeff, is about money. How much is this? I found this for this price. How much should I expect for this service? Answer this for me, both of you. The most expensive fix in a house would probably be blank.
Fix or we're fixing and not remodeling?
Fixing first.
We'll fix it first. I would have to say foundation probably.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, foundation can run you, you know, 30, 40, 50 thousand.
Good Lord.
Yeah, I mean, it could be expensive. A DIY fix expensive
yeah.
would be like flooring, maybe.
Probably.
Yeah, countertops.
Tile. Yeah.
On something like that. Now, if you're going to hire it out, you know, your roof, your big deals are, and I do investor inspections.
You're right.
Investors just want to know, what are my big deals?
What's going to cost me
the most?
Well, what's my heat and air roof? And
water heater.
Paint is relatively inexpensive.
Yeah, paint's cheap.
Flooring tile is relatively inexpensive compared to your major components.
Yeah, roofing, air conditioning, heating, water heater, foundation.
Yeah, that's right.
Wiring.
Sure.
What price tag seems to be the most shocking for customers? Either they expected a much smaller price tag or the other way around.
You know, electrical has always shocked me.
Man,
that was good.
Ba-dum-bum.
I made that up on the fly.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, this will be Jeff's last show.
That was good. I have to admit that.
That was awesome. Let me tell you what happened to me the other day now on electrical and the cost of it. So I'm inspecting this house, this remodel, and they were selling it. I was talking to my buyers. In the kitchen, Jeff, was this enormous gas stove.
Yep.
With a vent above it.
Ah.
No venting.
Really?
At all. Okay? And about 5 to 6 feet away was the electric panel.
Nice.
And I thought, I wonder what I'm going to find when I open this son of a gun up.
Mm-hmm.
It was crazy.
Obviously, it was in a county that is non-permitted.
Well, it's an old house. Old house.
Yep.
And, I mean, when I opened up that electric panel, everything in it was rusted.
Yep.
Cooked.
Yep. Yeah, because when you burn gas, you get water.
We can thank our portions of our government for not demanding that we have permitting and inspections on every build that happens in Mississippi.
And remodel.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You can go to the county. What county is Starkville in?
Oktibbeha.
Okay. You can go to Oktibbeha County and build anything you want to build. It's never inspected in the county. I did not say city, in the county. So let's just say I want to go build a five-story hotel. All I got to do is go to the county and start building.
Really?
Of course. And it's our fault. It's Mississippi's fault that we're not doing anything about it. And we have tried year by year to get that law.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we have certain politicians that have decided that it's best to leave, you know, the government out of our life and maybe not make it as safe. But anyway, I'm going down a rabbit hole.
So let's say you stay at Jeff's five-story hotel that he made up and decided to do on the fly. If something happens to you in Jeff's five-story hotel that he built without permission, you're not really protected because there was no law in place that said you had to do anything.
Yeah, I could still be sued for negligence, of course. But the bottom line is it's just like Pam's business. Inspections are good.
Yeah.
We're not scared of inspections.
Sure.
We are human. We miss things.
Yeah.
No, I welcome county inspections. I welcome home inspectors. Let's see what our ball looks like.
Mm-hmm. Work together.
Yeah, and if there's something wrong with the ball, let's fix it.
Let's just fix it, yeah.
Well, it's just like when I was working in news, I would stay up late writing stories. I still had an editor look at it.
Of course.
I still had second eyes on it. you know, that's their job, is to make sure I didn't miss something in my sleep-deprived work.
Of course.
You know?
Yeah.
We are doing an open topic show. We've had some great conversations this morning. We hope you'll join that open topic conversation. I'm here with my friend, Pam Pybus, certified inspector and inspect it like a girl, and licensed contractor Jeff Salmons from Houseworks. There's roughly about 6 or 7 minutes left of our caller-dictated open topic shows. Let's start the show with a call from Sue in Ripley, who has questions on about fungus on shingles. Sue, what you got going on this morning?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was calling. I have architectural shingles that are probably 6 or 7 years old. Only on the north side of my house is the black gunk on it.
That's where it is.
That's right. Yep.
Yes. What can you do? What can you spray on it to get rid of it?
You can look at something else. You can find something else to focus on and forget about.
Well, it can be cleaned.
You can, but I mean, cleaned. I'm just not a believer in these. You put these chemicals on there, and I'm not convinced that it's not damaging the shingles somehow by putting some type of a cleaner up there.
Yeah, you know.
It's terrible, though.
Here's the thing. They make a shingle that has copper. It's infused with copper. That growth will not grow on that shingle because it has copper in it.
Huh.
Now, what you can do, and this takes care of it forever, if you can get someone to put a piece of copper along the ridge. Am I making sense?
Yes.
Okay. And that copper.
The ridge on the top.
Yes, ma'am. And that copper will naturally keep that off when it rains.
Well, will it take it off the stuff that's already on it?
Eventually.
Huh.
Yep.
Okay.
Or there's companies out there, RoofMax is one, that they will actually clean that off of your roof.
What about the stuff that they sell at Lowe's and Home Depot?
I'm not as worried about it as Pam is. I'm not saying Pam is wrong. Pam is probably right because Pam actually probably took the time to read the label. and the only thing I did was take the cap off and put
and
it in the pump-up sprayer and spray it.
Yeah, and just
so,
go. Yeah.
One of us is right and one of us is wrong.
Well, you know, I don't know if it's a right or wrong thing. It's just a personal preference. And
I mean, you're at this point, your roof is 6 years old. You got another, I don't know, you got another 10 years in it, probably.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't bother me to spray it because it sounds like it's bothering you.
Yeah,
well,
just
it
make
is because it's the front of my house.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay,
no, we'll clean it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You just want to. I'm telling you, read the label because the runoff from that could kill everything in your yard.
Yeah. Well, cover it.
Yeah.
You know, with a tarp or whatever.
I bought me a bullet, one of those blenders. You know, I had to get one because of my smoothies now that I'm on this health kick. And I read everything about it before I used it. So you really do on these labels. You could get up there and you have a nice, shiny, clean roof and everything in your yard is dead.
Okay. Well, I will read it.
Read the label.
I will.
Okay.
Thank y'all so much.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Sue.
Right.
We hope we helped you out this morning. Fungus on shingles, and I'm sure, you know, as you were talking about how it's you don't want to spray it because you don't want to ruin your yard. Well, she's probably really concerned with how it looks.
Yeah, the what do they call that? Curb appeal? Yeah.
Curb appeal.
The curb appeal on it, you know, and it's on that.
I get it. It is unsightly.
It is. Yeah.
But, you know, the big Baptist church in Madison put a piece of copper up there, and it actually cleans that roof.
I've never heard that before. That is awesome. Listen, that would be a great solution if you ever get a new roof. Just put a piece of copper flash across the top.
Well, I'm sure there's something to it, you know.
Yeah.
So I think it's a little more complicated than maybe just putting a piece of copper up there, but that copper does clean that roof naturally.
Yeah, yeah. So. And I bet those copper infused shingles are expensive.
I don't think they're. It's not outrageous, but they, you know, it's a very, very good shingle. So,
Yeah.
Huh. Well, that's you know, you don't think about that. Like, yeah, you're cleaning something, but what other damage are you causing with your cleaners?
With your cleaner. Okay, let me talk about that for a second.
You got 1 minute.
Cleaners. People, listen to me. Please listen to me. Do not put your cleaners under your sink.
Why not?
Please don't. Because
they
will off-gas and corrode your valves, your garbage disposal that you need to rip out anyway.
I'm looking at Jeff.
Any wiring connections down there. If you think you put the bottle underneath there and close the cap real tight, I'm going to guarantee you did not close it tight enough. Mm. And it will off-gas. I cannot tell you how many times.
Right. It's... I agree with what you're saying. I didn't know this individual, but they had a bucket of chlorine, and the lid did not get put on the chlorine good.
Yep.
And started rusting his Harley.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. It was, tight area.
Those chemicals, the harsh chemicals, and they will absolutely corrode anything within, 10 feet. Or if you're in a closed area. So get it out of there. Put it somewhere else where it's not going to harm anything.
We leave you with this chemical wisdom from Pam and Jeff. Fix It 101 is a production of Mississippi Public Broadcasting Think Radio and is funded by the generous contributions from listeners like you. Our call screener today was Will Pickering. For Pam Pybus, Jeff Salmons, I'm your host, Lacey Alexander. Stay tuned for our Wednesday 10 a.m. program, Everyday Tech, and join us next Wednesday at 9 for Fix It 101 only on MPB Think Radio.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. To hear previous shows, visit mpbonline.org or download the MPB Public Radio app to listen on your iPhone or Android phone on demand.